Malcolm Blight and David Wood, your thanks to Weeks. Discover how we're delivering high standard of design and build quality. Weeks Homes, discover different. Also Tyre Power, your trusted tyre experts. We're going to speak now with John Ralph. He's with the Herald Sun and Fox Footy, and now he's with us, and he joins us tonight. Hi, John, how are you?
Hello, guys. Yeah, normally with grand final week over here, which makes the earth move. Instead, we've got a bloody grade six. Well, we haven't had hurricanes, but we have unfortunately had all things close to it. We haven't had the plague as well. It's a pretty sad and sombre old week here in grand final week in Melbourne, but hopefully a couple of Melbourne teams are in the grand final in at Perth Stadium. Might just light us up on Saturday night.
Yeah, it promises to be, I think, one of the most evenly contested grand finals, but you got a feel for some of the Melbourne supporters and Western Bulldogs, really, but 57 years and a chance to get to the MCG, you know, you could fit another 40, 50,000 Demon supporters. Just so sad in a way.
Yeah, it is. And look, I understand that, you know, those long-suffering supporters are so keen to be there. I look at it from a personal point of view, you know, having watched a couple of with the Tigers, you know. It's what happens from a family point of view. You've got these young kids who, you know, in the case of Melbourne, you know, have had a very little success, same as Richmond through the 80s and 90s and the early 2000s. And then all of a sudden you get it. You want your kids to see it live because then they become rusted on and then you never have to worry about your partner or your uncle or whoever it might be dragging them away from you. So hopefully, specifically, if you're a Melbourne supporter, having waited those 57 years, at least if you're a dog supporter, you saw it in 2016. But yeah, for me, I'm barracking for history. I'm barracking for the drought broken. And yeah, and at least if those Melbourne supporters can watch it with their kids and see something absolutely extraordinary, that'll be one for the ages.
If the Dogs can win, John, do you think it's actually better than 16 in the fact they've travelled to about five different states and they finished fifth once again, didn't get the double chance?
Probably from a purely mileage point of view and probably from a hardship point of view. You know, Blighty would know better than me, but I think when you're also tackling history, I think that, you know, that is an absolutely, you know, not an insurmountable obstacle, but one that is so difficult. I think that, you know, we went through a stage there where we had a lot of one-sided grand finals. You know, to think that, you know, since 2005, you know, we've seen Sydney, a 72-year drought. We've seen Richmond, a 40-odd-year drought. It felt like longer than that as a Tiger supporter. You know, to see 2016 and what's happened, and, you know, even Geelong, obviously, as Blighty would know, you know, it might have only been, 63, wasn't it, till 2007. You know, still 40-odd years. Mm. It's been a magical period in history for, you know, for all the hardships we've had from COVID and from plagues and thunder and all that kind of stuff. To think that we've been able to, you know, live through four of those drought-breaking eras and hopefully now for the Melbourne Football Club, it would be something magical.
John, I tend to agree with that. I think it's a game of the people for the people and should be shared by the people, and that means all clubs. So I'm on your side. Hey, listen, just going forward, I mean, I know they've signed a long-term deal with the MCG. Now, I was at the Gabba last year, which I'm fortunate enough to present the medal to Damien Hardwick. It's going to be in Perth this year. I've just got a feeling, and this is really just open it up, two out of three should be at the MCG, and then on a bit of a roster system around the country. You know, I just reckon that would be a really good thing for the game to do, and you can just make that ad infinitum, two out of three, give them another 100 years at the MCG. How do you think that would go?
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, the question was asked of Gillon McLachlan last week, and he just palmed the question off again. He said, yeah, as a sop, oh, we might give Perth Stadium one every three Dreamtime in the West games. You know, if we truly believe that we're a national competition, yep, it's an absolute joke to think that we have this grand final that has now been expanded to 2057. Now, if there was a valid reason, Blighty, you know, if it was only about money, but we've seen that, you know, the AFL has said themselves this week they're making nearly as much money from a grand final with all the corporates they have over at Perth Stadium than they have at the MCG. Now, the only real reason that was extended, you know, from I think it was 37 to 57 was so the state government in Victoria gave a heck of a lot of money to redevelop the MCG and to redevelop Marvel Stadium as it's now known. You know, so it was purely a corporate reason. Every third year, every fifth year, whatever it is, we're not a national competition until we're spreading this grand final across this great country, because we've seen with the Gabba, and we're about to see it on Saturday night, they do just as good a job. The only issue is not 100,000, but that's okay. You know, for the equity of it, I'd love to see it spread around.
Yeah, I'm starting to get that way too. Now, listen, all those Richmond supporters that have had a wonderful 4 or 5 years, what are they going to do this weekend? They'll just go gardening, will they? They won't even watch it, will they?
Well, we will. We'll have to watch our favourite team, which, of course, is the Melbourne Storm. You know, we're Melbourne Storm lovers before we're Richmond lovers as well. Won't that be great as well? You know, with such a gap in the market, you know, I understand the razzmatazz and the, you know, the lights and all that stuff and the fireworks of a night game. I still think, you know, the perfect time for a grand final is about 4 o'clock. So it maximises the ratings. Well, let's face it, you know, we're all in the business of trying to maximise ratings. You know, but it's not something you have to wait for 7:30 for. The kids can watch it. And so Melbourne Storm have been so smart, haven't they, to move that prelim forward to 4 o'clock. So the Tigers supporters will have to be comfortable with the new acquisition of our superstar player in Robbie Tarrant, who's 32 and a fullback who's replacing, of course, David Asprey. But it's just going to be so intriguing. You know, so many of these empires have fallen and fallen so hard. Richmond are attempting to play some kids, you know, attempting to still prolong their window. You know, are they half pregnant? I'm not sure. So, yeah, it'll be so fascinating to see what happens for the Richmond 40 Club in a couple of years because, I get the feeling our premiership era is over.
I'll never forget that Marlon Pickett's debut on Grand Final does a sort of reverse blind step and amazing. But you wrote a great article on Cozzie Pickett too, John. Like to watch Cyril Rioli highlights on repeat. He's been a great story, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been magnificent. And look, Byron Pickett has been instrumental, and so have so many of the great people of South Australia. Yeah, so, you know, only a couple of years into his career, you know, as I wrote in that story, which will be in the Adelaide Advertiser tomorrow and also on Super Footy as well. Yeah, he came across from Perth. He was basically adopted by his, as he calls it, his second mum. And then at 13, Byron Pickett, his uncle wanted to have a big part of his life. And so, yeah, he spent a couple of years with him. You know, they were tough years from a circumstances point of view. But then, you know, a lot of the great people there, including Paul Vandenberg, who ran the Port Adelaide Indigenous programs, got him into his Prince Alpha College. And he just went from strength to strength there. You know, he's had a lot of hardships along the way, you know, a lot of time in different parts of the Pickett family. But he's one hell of a player. And, you know, us guys who are middle-aged white guys, we have absolutely no idea of the hardships and the challenges that so many of these Indigenous players have overcome. And he looks an absolute star on the stage. And as Paul Vandenberg, who's now running all of the AFL diversity programs, he said he's already succeeded now, but he could be one of the great role models for all Indigenous players to see how far he's come and the resilience he's shown.
Yeah, it's a great read in the Herald Sun. Now, Malcolm Blight played a young Simon Goodwin many years ago as a 19-year-old for the Crows, and I think he played a couple of premierships in his first 2 years. Young Bowie, only 7 games, but he's keeping some good players out. He must be a real talent, John.
No doubt. Yeah, he's got calm above his shoulders. He's got poise. He's only a 7-gamer. He's got speed, which, as Blighty knows, will get you a very long way in the AFL. But he doesn't really seem to make mistakes. You know, so he's come into that team. Only really came into that team when Jaden Hunt came out. Hunt had played 20 games in a row, and he's held his spot. So we're all waiting to see this afternoon, you know, whether Joel Smith comes back into that side. But right now it seems like he's holding out Joel Smith. He's certainly holding out Jaden Hunt. And it's just one of the great stories himself. And look, just on Simon Goodwin as well. You know, in a week where, you know, Ben Cousins has started what is a very long march back to respectability, but certainly has started that journey. I just love what Melbourne did with Simon Goodwin. He'd been there at the peptides saga at Essendon. He certainly had his gambling issues, which were very well known. And the Melbourne board, when they thought of that succession plan, they didn't gild the lily. They brought him in and they asked him every one of those hard questions, and he was able to answer them because he'd gone away and worked on himself. And he, you know, looks another modern-day success story. Of course, he's, you know, won a premiership with Blighty. But, you know, I think of the second chances in the AFL. You can get pretty deep. But I think there's always second chances in the AFL. Not 5th and 6th and 7th necessarily, but, you know, of all the great stories there, Cozzie's one of those, and so potentially is Bowie. You know, I think he's one for the AFL as well. And for everyone who's had a struggle in their life and thinks, do I get a second chance? Yeah, absolutely you do.
Yeah, certainly. We'll talk about Michael Voss in a minute. I just want to ask you something there. But just before we go, there's movement in the camp. We know that the trade period is starting up very shortly. Now, Jordan Dawson, the lad from Sydney, has nominated the Crows. What do you reckon he's worth? And I just want to ask you about Tyson Stengel, who's about to play in the grand final for Woodville West Torrens here in the Sandful. Ex-Richmond, ex-Crows player. I mean, I've seen him a bit this year. He can actually still play a bit. Do you reckon he's worth a pick? Just your opinion on Dawson and Stengel.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Look, I think if Dawson went to Port Adelaide, they had pick 16, which would have become about pick 18. I think that's just about spot on. You know, so for Adelaide, look, their first rounder clearly is at 2 or 3. You know, it means that their second round is about 21, might blow back a couple of picks. So I think he's absolutely worth that, and maybe a swap of some second rounders to just sweeten the deal a little bit, because I think he's worth a bit more than 21.
Yep.
He's a beautiful kick, third in a really good side. And they needed to win one. You know, they're really upset about the talk that, they just opened the checkbook and they got it done. You know, they feel like through Mark Ricciuto and through their fantastic young coach and the, what they're building, they felt there was a really identifiable role for him, and he saw the growth, and he saw, you know, how we could grow with them. Yeah, and for Stengel, yeah, he was absolutely floated really heavily in the mid-season draft. And I just think, you know, some clubs out there just weren't quite sure in terms of the, you know, the, some of the stuff-ups he's had. They wanted to see a little bit more. And so, you know, having pushed deep into the finals there, yeah, I think absolutely they'll be looking for him. Yeah, it may well be it's a summer train-on. You know, it may well be that they need to see a little bit more through the summer. But, you know, he had probably as much talent as anyone in that mid-season draft that got overlooked. So, you know, if he can prove himself and he can roll up in his sleeves, he's done. I think he absolutely gets a second chance in the AFL.
Yeah, but Dawson, pre-season draft, do you reckon they'll take a punt there like they did with, who was it?
Jackson Hadley, yeah. I don't think so. Look, I asked a couple of player managers this week, and they said, as much as the clubs would love to do it, the players hate it. Because the players, you know, if you're Jordan Dawson, you're coming home from Sydney, you've had a great time at Sydney, you've got no ill will there, and you don't want to screw them over, you know. Yeah. Let's not gild the lily there. So I think what happened with Haley is Adelaide and JWS couldn't get a deal done. We saw it with Carlton as well, with Jack Martin a few years before that. You know, those deals didn't get done. The only way to get them through to the preseason. So, yeah, I think Adelaide knows they've got to pay up. They've got a lot of young kids there. You know, some that are coming through and some that haven't been developed yet and haven't emerged yet. I think they'll pay the price for him, and he'll be a wonderful player for them for the next 10 years.
Herald Sun and Fox Footy's John Ralph. Before we get your tip, John, the cost of the AFL, financial cost, there's been hotels, there's been chartered flights, there's been hubs, there's been this and that. Have we seen the full fallout yet? I mean, it must have cost them an arm and a leg just to keep the comp going.
Yeah, I mean, Gil McLachlan talked about budget estimates for the AFL and clubs at $700 million. He said over the 2 years, that's how much that they think they've lost. Now, I don't know whether he's, just putting a little bit of sugar on that one. But, yeah, it's been catastrophic for the AFL, something like $6 or $7 million a week for the last 10 or 12 weeks. Look, I just hope we go and get vaccinated. You know, there are some fears out there that, you know, it'll be just as bad next year because we'll have, you know, thousands of people, you know, per day with COVID issues, and the hospitals will be flooded. I just think we've been really compliant all the way along. You know, there's a really small minority there who are idiots who are, you know, in the streets of Melbourne right now. But if we can get, you know, 85 and 90% vaccinated, you just look at the crowds over there in England, and you look at the crowds in America. A lot of these really powerful clubs, you know, call it Richmond and Adelaide and West Coast and Collingwood, they've set themselves up so well over the last 5 years. They will make that many millions of dollars if they can get people flooding back in full houses. And so, you know, I think the football economy is set up to absolutely succeed. You know, they'll have to chip in a couple of million dollars for the smaller clubs, you know, and potentially a Tasmanian club. But, if we can just get enough people vaccinated, I think we're going to be in a really, really strong position. But everything surrounds that. Otherwise, we're going back into lockdowns if we can only get to, you know, call it 75% vaccination rate across Australia.
You're not scared we can't get back to pre-COVID crowds? You think there'll be some residual effect of that?
Oh, I think for some people it will, and I'm really scared about grassroots football in Victoria. You know, I only look at my own kids and their experience with screen time now, and their obsession with that, and, you know, 20 minutes in the park, and then they want to get back and play Minecraft. So there's a bit of that, and so it might take some time. But as much as you sit back with a nice glass of red and you watch your Fox footy in 4K and all those kind of things, and it's great, there still is nothing better than a full MCG crowd. And the only thing that would have me confident that the crowds will kick back is the memberships have been extraordinary. They have stayed as strong as they ever have been. There is a real sense of community. And I know you guys have had it good, and, you know, you've done the right thing over in Adelaide. But, you know, just getting back to having a nice, you know, ice cold pot at the Ascot Vale Hotel over the tray, you know, going back to seeing a bit of theatre, you know, going back to seeing a movie, you know, in 4K itself. And I think footy will be a big part of that. You know, I just think we'll be really keen to get out and see our friends at the MCG, at the Frank Gray Smith Bar, at the MCC on a Friday night. Yeah, I hope that we'll flood back in droves.
Now, just on Vossi, I think it's a really good appointment. You know, I'm a bit of a fan of Vossi's, and I thought he spoke really well today. You would have watched the interview and all that unfold with Brian Cook. I believe it's a really good appointment for him. Where do you sit with it?
No, I love it. You know, I still think he's got a little bit of that gravitas as a triple premiership player. And say if you're, Sam Phillip, a first-round draft pick who's a 19-year-old, you never would have seen Vossi strutting his stuff. But, you know, I think he's got gravitas there. I think he's learned from his first experience. As he said to the Carlton faithful and hit all the right notes, we want to have brutal aggression in regards to the integrity of the contest. And we want to set up really well and actually win the ball back and score from there. And I think if you're a Carlton fan, they're all the things that lacked under David Teague. you know, it's really unfortunate what happened to Teague, and thank goodness he's come back into Richmond as an assistant coach and he's still in the AFL program. But he was a really honourable guy. Maybe he wasn't the coach for the right time at Carlton. I absolutely love, you know, what Michael Voss has been able to do, and the fact that he just kept on putting his hand up. And he said, no, I had no hesitation in putting my hand up to apply for this position, despite being rough a couple of years back. So, I love his perseverance. I love what he stands for. Yeah, I love watching Michael Voss play, and I think he'd make a great fit for this role, which has a list which I think he's not ready to explode, but it has so much latent potential. And if he can harness that with Adam Chera and George Hewitt from Sydney, as well as a couple of quick-fix midfielders, I think they can go a long way in the next 3 or 4 years.
Great stuff. Dogs of the D's, your tip?
D's for me, 28 points. Cozzy Pickett at 51 bucks for the Norm Smith.
Oh.
And Petraka to kick the first goal. He's probably only out of 10 bucks, but can't wait. And as you know, when you've seen my footy tips, I'm about in the bottom third. So ignore all of my predictions, but... Yeah, it's going to be a ripper, whichever way it falls.
John, I say it the other way. I'm in the same spot, but I'm at the top of the bottom third.
Great stuff there. Herald Sun and Fox Footy's John Ralph, all for Tyre Power. Great deals, brands you can trust. Big Footy final sale on right now.